Blog Talk Radio. I am great, not because someone told me, but because I believe. I believe in my abilities to achieve the impossible. I am strong beyond measure. I am smart without a doubt. High I will aim. Shout loudly I proclaim that I am great. I am great from my inner core. Deeply I believe that no obstacle is too large, too much to overcome. I am a conqueror. Opposition I will slay. For this is the day I say that I am great. I am great. I know who I am. I stand tall and erect. Nothing intimidates me. From the moment I begin, I win. I am defined by greatness and nothing less. My only option is success. Action proves it best that I am great. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Make It Great Show with your host, Phenicia Hubbard, and co-hosts Beverly Rogers and Candace Cole. This is the Uplift Connection, where you hear inspirational stories from uplifting women who are choosing to make it great in their lives. For a listing of upcoming guests and topics, visit us online at Phenicia.com.
Hello and happy Sunday. Welcome to another edition of the Make It Great Show, where every Sunday we offer you food for your mind and fuel for your soul by giving you a different vantage point on various topics that you can use and apply to your life. And what we're going to do this Sunday is bring on a very special sister and engage in a conversation with her just about how she's making it great in her life. Thanks for tuning in, listening with us live on blogtalkradio.com/makeitgreat. You can join us in the chat room and connect with us there. And also, you can call in at 347-327-9281. And that will give you an opportunity to join in this fantastic conversation. I'm Phenicia Hubbard, and I am your Make It Great coach.
And I'm Beverly Rogers, your question coach.
And I'm Candace Cole, and I am playing in the light, and we are just really, really excited that you're here with us tonight for another Make It Great Show.
Yes, we are. We've got guests that are logged in. We've got people that are listening to us on blogtalkradio.com/makeitgreat. So, again, thanks for joining us. And, ladies, this weather here in Chicago is absolutely wonderful. I want us to just jump right in and talk about what we always do when we come together, and that is what you are celebrating in life right now. Hey, Candace, I want to turn the mic over to you. What are you celebrating?
Let's see. What am I celebrating? I am actually celebrating, well, last past weekend, I celebrated 4 years of being married, so that's one thing that I'm celebrating. And then I think I said this past radio shows, but once again, just celebrating connecting with people. It seems like, I don't know if it's because the weather is nicer, but I've just been reconnecting with people and connecting with new people, and so it's nice just to connect with new friends and old friends, so I'm celebrating friendship and connection once again because it's just been a really great time of connection the past month or so.
Mm-hmm. Springtime will do that for you, right?
Yeah, it will. I think it's the weather. Everybody's coming up, at, you know, thawing out and, you know, wanting to go out more, so it's great.
Yes, I love that. Hey, Beth, what are you celebrating?
I am celebrating going through. We always talk about how wonderful the weather is, but spring also brings on allergies. And I have to admit that I'm one of those that when the buds first come out, I start to have allergy attacks. And I had one this week, and it was like 24 hours, maybe 48 the most. And I've been celebrating living in the overflow, and part of that is just going through, seeing what it is, identifying it, and say, all right, I've got this, but I can get through it, and just going through it. So living in the overflow for me is like going through, identifying what it is, being able to adjust my life around it, and getting on the other side of it. And I'm celebrating that.
Always finding different things to celebrate. Yes, yes. And I love how we are all finding things to celebrate in our lives, no matter what. I think that's the beauty of life, is that you have to choose to celebrate. You have to choose to make it great, and you have to find a focus. You know, we can always find things that are wrong. We can clearly look at allergies and say that they're horrible and focus on all the problems that it can cause. But we can also choose to find the positive perspective in that, and that's how we make it great, right? Love it, love it, love it. Yes. I think I am truly just celebrating life. I think every day that I'm here is another day to just be grateful. I think some people get to a point where we can take life for granted, you know, and we wake up and expect things to kind of follow the same pattern that they did the day before. But every day is a new day. And the more I see people that leave their physical bodies and leave this earth, the more I realize that, you know what, life is something to be celebrated and to be lived and to be enjoyed. So glad that you all are here to celebrate it with me and with our special guest for today. So before we bring her on, ladies, to join in the conversation, I want us to have a little conversation about the topic for today. And the topic is happiness. Happiness. What is happiness to both of you? If you had to define it, you know, Beverly's Dictionary of Life, what is happiness?
Well, I don't know if you should have chosen me first this time, Phoenicia, because when I think of happiness, happiness to me is very fleeting. You can be happy today and something come up and you won't be happy tomorrow. So happiness to me is something that people do for you and it's and you have this feeling and you love it and it's wonderful, but something else will happen. Having a birthday party is happy, but when the birthday party is over, it's gone. I celebrate joy more than I celebrate happiness, because happiness for me is so fleeting.
Candace, what do you think about that, and what's happiness to you?
You know, I think, you know, kind of like with Bev, I think I've always kind of differentiated between happiness and joy, and kind of seeing joy as something that's more constant. But as it relates to happiness, the first thing that really comes up for me is finding things and feelings and ways that I want to, you know, things that I want to do, ways that I want to feel, and doing that. So happiness to me is kind of like a very intentional process of going towards those things or those people or those situations that really make me feel good. So I guess like right now, that's my definition of happiness, is like that intentional movement towards things that do bring me joy. But it's like an intentional movement. Like I'm really moving towards that desired way of wanting to feel good. So I think that's kind of like how I define it now. And, you know, because it's always a choice not to go towards those things, right? So in that way, happiness is really a choice to me. It's a choice of choosing to go towards those things or choosing not to. But, yeah, that's kind of how I simply see it, is like, you know what? This is the way I want to feel. I want to feel good in this way, and so I'm going to do certain things to feel good in that way. That's kind of my definition of it. As of today, it wasn't always like that, but you asking me kind of brought back that's what it is right now, which makes it fun.
Yes, right. You both bring very interesting perspectives on what happiness is, and I think it's really fitting because of we have this topic today because of the weekend and the week that's coming up. It's we're moving into the first week of May, and on Friday in Chicago, we have what's called the Happiness Sprinkling Project, which is where we come together and we spread happiness with other people, and we do that through holding up signs that give words of encouragement to other people, and it really does brighten their day. We do it. It might appear to be random, but we'll be doing that this Friday. And then after that, we've got Global Free Hugs, and that's where people will be joining us from all around the world collectively, same time, but in different places, where we spread happiness through physical hugs with other people and through hugs from our smiles and virtual hugs. So I think it's really fitting that we have this topic today, given that everything is coming up in the next week. And so I want to introduce the sister that's about to join the conversation. for our regular listeners, you've been chatting with her the last couple of episodes. Her name is Chanel Ellis. And in our introduction song to this show, where we have the I am great, not because someone told me, but because I believe, where we have that mantra and that poem spoken, it is by Chanel Ellis. She's a sister that wrote that, and she is the voiceover behind it. You know, in her work, she does that. She's a voiceover artist. And I would say that she embodies happiness. Now, I knew Chanel in high school. We went to the same high school together, but we didn't hang out then. We reconnected a little bit after we both finished with our college educational careers. But I would say from my remembrance of her in high school, she always had a positive disposition. And so I have a good memory of her. And she went on to college, started studying and took on a career in broadcasting, and then started to really reflect on what happiness meant to her. So definitely look forward to talking with her about what it means to be happy. I'm excited because she is one of the co-happiness ambassadors for Friday's event. So that's even more fitting to bring her on. So I want to turn the mic over to Chanel Ellis and ask her, on a scale from 1 to 10, Chanel, how happy are you today with 10 being off the chart?
Hi, ladies. If I had to give it a number, I think I'm off the chart. Let's give it a 11.
I love it.
And what makes you happy today, Chanel?
Well, I mean, we were talking about the weather being nice. Enjoyed church on today. Had a little time with myself. Dinner was good. I enjoy being with myself. I had good energy around me today. I found just little small stuff. It doesn't have to be, like, really big, not like a marching band came down the street and said my name and stuff like that. But I'm enjoying me. I'm enjoying the possibilities, you know. So that's why today is so great for me. And I try to do that every day.
Okay.
Yes, I love that. Hey, Chanel, so I want you to tell people a little bit about why you have made the decision to be like a co-happiness ambassador for the event that's coming up on Friday in Chicago. And maybe for all the listeners, you can tell them a little bit about that and what that means to you.
Well, first of all, Phenicia, thank you so much for even including me with the Happiness Project. And because of you introducing it to me and explaining to me what this really means, I just wanted to just embrace this. Of course, we hear all the time about Chicago, the media, the crime that's here, and we hear it day in and day out. And it's like, I'm so over that because I know there are good people that live in this city. I'm one of them, and I feel that everyone can experience the happiness that I have. I mean, definitely we're all responsible for our happiness, but at the same time, it's a good opportunity for us to intercede for other people and encourage them to embrace that happiness for themselves. Sometimes we need a little help, need a little coaching, so why not help someone else? So if that is what this project can do, then I'm all in it. And that's what I interpreted this project to be an opportunity to encourage and to inspire others that happiness is inside of you, and I'm willing to just help you dig that out of you and just let it shine all throughout this city.
You know, I've heard that referenced a couple of times on this call, that happiness is inside of you. Is that a belief? You all, I just want to open that up to everybody. Is that a belief that some people choose to have, that happiness is inside of everybody?
I think so. I think if you're looking outside of yourself to have someone else make you happy, you're treading on very shallow waters, because no one can really make you happy. What makes you happy means that something outside of you has touched something inside of you to bring the happiness out. No one can really just make you happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think...
Yeah, Candace, what do you think?
I think some people they do live with that. They do have that belief that that happiness maybe necessarily isn't inside of them. And I think a lot of times that has to do with maybe situations that happened on the outside that maybe weren't very happy or very joyful. But I also think that what is really beautiful about happiness and this belief that happiness is inside of you is that it's so easy to shift that belief. And I say that because I think of every time there's a baby around. So I was on the bus last week, and, you know, it was like rush hour. Clearly everyone had gotten off of work. People, you know, had the face on like, I'm tired. You know, the just very stressful feel on the bus. And this little girl, maybe 1.5, 2 years old, she got on the bus, and she starts waving to people, and she ends up falling because the bus was going too fast, and she starts laughing, and it just kind of lit people up, and they start smiling. So even in that split second, you know, she spread happiness, and I think it just shows that happiness, it can shift. So even if people do have that belief, I feel like it's one of those beliefs that, like, it can shift from, you know what, happiness maybe isn't something that I have a lot of, but it can shift in moments like that, just really simple moments where happiness is being shared, similar to what, you know, what you're going to be doing with the Happiness Project. That kind of just came to mind when I thought of that belief and how that belief can shift just so quick, which is hopeful. Because you don't have, you know, because sometimes people think it's so heavy, like, I'm not happy. But it's so quick to just refocus and get happy, you know. Just some very small gestures can help people, you know, pull it back out of themselves, I think.
And I think from your Happiness Project, like Candace, you know, kind of got to, if you hit something inside, it brings people out. Babies and little children make people smile, but there's something inside that is touched. But if you have someone who is just really unhappy, who is really mean, who, you know, you have to work hard to do something to touch that happiness part. You know, I think happiness really does come from something in the heart. And if you find a hard-hearted person, you're going to have to jump through a lot of hoops to make them happy. So the Happiness Project means that you're out there, you're finding something that will touch somebody's heart. And there are a lot of hearts out there that really need that, just that one little spark to make them smile.
Now, how do you make the choice every day to find your happy place? What does that look like for you?
Well, every morning I do, before I do anything, before I get out of the bed, I always give thanks. Obviously, if I'm here, there's a reason why I'm here. There's a purpose for me to be here. So when I get in touch with my purpose, when I take the time to say thank you, then that inspires me to be great, to be happy, to move forward, to help someone else, and, of course, in essence, to experience happiness. I can't just go with the flow. I can't just say, okay, I'm just going to let the day define how I'm going to be. If I did that, then I really wouldn't be fulfilling my purpose. There's a reason why I'm here. If I'm alive, there's something I'm supposed to be doing. I got a second chance to fulfill that purpose. And to me, to even be given a chance to even do that, that's something to be excited about. And I wouldn't even dare take that for granted, because there's somebody that didn't have that opportunity today. So that would be so ungrateful of me to be like, oh, it's another day, I don't feel like doing it, blah, blah, blah. Really? You don't feel like doing it? No problem. You don't have to do it anymore, and that'll be the end of that. So I find my purpose. I find the reason why I'm here.
Yeah, when I hear you talk about that and finding that gratitude and sense of purpose, it reminds me of this rule, I guess, that Abraham and Esther Hicks came up with, and it's the 17-second rule, kind of like how if you find yourself in a place of insecurity or anger or doubt, then it takes 7 seconds. You just focus on that thought, and every 7 seconds that you focus on it even longer, it continues, right? So you can just quickly miss that for 7 more seconds. And so, Chanel, I want to ask you, too, about, like, getting to happiness, because I'm also reminded of what's called the emotional guidance scale. And if people haven't heard of this scale, it's absolutely phenomenal. I would recommend looking it up online, just to see how the scale looks. And what it does is it shows us how to get to our best place, right? And it says that if we are in a place of fear, which is at the very bottom of the scale, then, you know, we have to move up. And moving up beyond fear, you know, you move up towards maybe jealousy or hatred or anger, and then you keep moving up. And then there's you get to a place of contentment, and then there's hopefulness and then optimism. What's interesting about this guidance scale, though, is that they separate happiness and joy. Happiness is only number three. Joy is
right.
Number one, you know. But I want to get down to the very bottom where they talk about fear, grief, depression, and all that, because I feel like we all go through this emotional guidance scale, because if we didn't, then we wouldn't understand what joy and happiness were. So what was it like for you, Chanel, starting this journey and finding happiness and getting up to the top of that scale?
The way I grew up in a good home. My parents were good to me. I was never abused. Great family life. And it seems as if everything I ever wanted, I always got. If I said I wanted to get good grades, I got good grades. If I wanted to, get a new boyfriend, I got one. So life was good. And I think when I first experienced depression for the first time was when I was in college, and it was I was getting ready to graduate. I was applying for graduation, and I went through some issues with not having enough credits or something like this, really crazy. So I wasn't eligible to graduate in May. I had to graduate like the next semester, and I don't know why that just shattered me so bad, but I was just like, oh my God, like the world was just over, and I just didn't want to do it anymore. And that was like the first time I ever felt some sense of failure. And I eventually ended up graduating and, you know, started working in my field, and I wasn't happy with my career and the contacts that I were making in my relationships, and it was just like an up and down roller coaster. And that's when I started really experiencing fear, doubt, all of those negative emotions that are at the bottom of the chart. And I didn't know what to do because I never talked to anybody about it. I never knew anyone who was talking about it. And especially in the Black community, like, I really didn't hear anybody say, I'm depressed, I'm going to take pills for this. Like, I didn't hear anything about that. So I was by myself in all of this, crying, and one minute I'm happy, next minute I'm angry, next minute I'm crying again. I just was on this emotional roller coaster, and it went on for years. I was up and down for, oh my God, I mean, I would say about over 5 years, definitely, almost 10 years, just back and forth. And I think what really changed all of this for me after just going through a series of this up and down madness, ironically, I was learning a lot about multi-level marketing, of all things. I was looking for a job and found multi-level marketing online, and it wasn't so much that I enjoyed what the people were actually doing. I was just finally around, like, a whole bunch of happy people at the same time, kind of like what the Happiness Project is going to be. And everybody was happy all the time. And I was like, what are you all happy about? You don't even know if you're getting paid today. You are in this opportunity. You don't know nothing. Like, why are you so happy? But they were just so confident and self-assured about their belief in the company that they belong to, and they were just all encouraging each other. And it was happening all over the place. And I didn't even stay with the company that I initially signed up with, but I just loved the energy. And the energy is what got me out of depression. It wasn't pills. It wasn't any kind of therapy sessions. It was just being around some happy people on a regular basis. That's really what it
we're
was.
Talking
not,
with,
it sounds really
yeah.
simple, but it was that simple.
We're talking with Chanel Ellis. She's joining the conversation today. You can join us at blogtalkradio.com/makeitgreat. We've got some people logged in. We invite you to join the conversation. And if you'd like to talk with us live, you can call in at 347-327-9281. Ladies, I'm wondering if those emotions and the fluctuation is healthy, and is that necessary for us? You know, Chanel, you talked about being around people in multi-level marketing and how there's always this positive expectation in that industry. There's always enthusiasm and passion around the product and the work and the company. So to find happiness and joy there, it just makes sense. And so I wonder if we look at, like, all the other emotions that fluctuate, you know, doubt or disappointment, discouragement, and then going back up to being optimistic, do those serve us in any way?
I would think, Chanel, that you probably experienced them when you were at the multi-level marketing, but because you were around happy people, you recovered a lot more quickly, so that it was not one that you just hung on to. You didn't hang in there. If you were down, there was someone there who always empowered you to come back. Mm-hmm. Do you think?
Right. Yeah, definitely. And it you're so right. It wasn't even, like I said, it wasn't so much of the company itself. I was halfway paying attention anyway. I have to be honest with you. But when they were talking just about just their lives and how they was going to do it, I'm great. I can do it. And I'm all that. And I was just like, you know what? I'm all that too. And I was just applying it to my own life. It wasn't even the company. And I'm pretty much familiar with a number of multi-level companies. And they're all the same. All the people, and they're all the same. They're all encouraged.
Yes,
and
they
inspired.
Are.
You have to be that way to be in an industry such as that. And I just caught on to that. I mean, it was just, the energy was just off the chain. And you know, with these companies, they got morning calls, they got midday calls, they got evening calls, they online, they want to send you text messages, they everywhere. It's like all the time. And I just couldn't get away from it. And it really helped me. I just grabbed onto it. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we have to be really cognizant about the people we hang with and who we talk to. You know, our eyes and our ears are the windows to our soul. And what you listen to, I do believe on a consistent basis, that is what you become. So, you know, sometimes you may watch certain movies, or you could be on Facebook, any type of social media, and it's for fun. But sometimes when you're on some type of medium like television or social media for so long and it's not serving you well and you continuously are doing it, you become that. You really do. And so I've learned to be careful about what I listen to and what I believe. And we all have choices, and I choose to believe the truth about me. And the truth about me is I am great. I'm not meant to be below. I'm higher than that. I'm not less. I am a leader. I'm not a follower. I am great. That's my truth, and I believe that.
What is the one strategy that you pulled out of that time of your life that you say you still use to keep you empowered?
I do a lot of affirmations, just like I said. I realize what is the truth about me, and I build that up into my subconsciousness so that it can reflect in my circumstances. I've learned that my circumstances I'm bigger than my circumstances, just because something may not look as if I can overcome it. That doesn't mean that I will stay there. I'm great. I'm better than that. I'm bigger than that. I reaffirm my truth every day.
Chanel, talk a little bit more, if you could, about you said you do the affirmations to really getting your subconscious. Could you talk a little bit more about that? Because I think sometimes people think, oh, I'm just saying these affirmations and, you know, nothing's working. And, you know, you just want me to say something a few times a day. Like, say more about, you know, the effect of that, or kind of maybe the change that you saw over time as you started to affirm yourself.
I'm glad you asked that question, because you are right. You can say all these affirmations and chants and nothing could happen. The reason why I see results when I affirm is because I associate a feeling with that. So if I say I'm rich and I got $2 in my purse, well, I'm thinking I ain't really rich. That's that subconsciousness talking. You ain't rich, girl. You only got $2 and you ain't getting no more money for the rest of the week. Okay, you keep saying I am rich, and you silence that voice that says you are not rich, and you keep affirming, I am rich, and then you start feeling, well, what does it feel to be rich? What does being rich mean to you? Oh, I'm going to get a new client this week. Okay, good. All right, oh, I found some money on the ground. Okay, good. All right, I got an unexpected check in the mail. Okay, good. Okay, you know, whatever rich means to me. And rich is not even just money. It's, oh, I'm healthy. I have food in my house. I have a vehicle or a way for transportation. I have two legs to walk. I'm excited. Whatever. I got clothes to wear. So I associate a feeling with that. If you just say I'm rich or I'm healthy or I'm happy and there's no feeling associated with that, then no, affirmations mean nothing. But when you affirm something and you got a feeling behind it and you know it, like you know it as sure as you know your name. Like if somebody was to call me on and say, hey, Keisha, that ain't me, so I'm not looking. But you say, hey, Chanel, that's me, baby. That is me all day. So I affirm that. If I am rich, baby, yes, I am rich because that's my name, okay? As my name is Chanel, my name is rich. My name is prosperity. My name is healthy. My name is happy. That is me. That is who I am. I'm feeling it right now. I feel that. And not only do I feel that, I believe that. And now that I believe that, I am that.
You go, girl.
That is powerful.
Right. I was like, I feel it too.
I wonder on the flip side of that, if people are actually affirming for themselves, like they are doing their own types of affirmations when they are not in that place of acceptance that you're in, and they're affirming negatives, and that's why they keep getting, you know, more unhappiness.
Well, that it goes the same way. You know, if, again, let's use the example of, you know, being rich. If you say, I am rich, and your subconscious or your that voice is telling you, girl, you're not rich, you only got $2 in your pocket. And then you still think that, you know what, you are right. I only got $2 in my pocket. I don't know where my next client is going to come from. Man, payday ain't till the 15th. You know, you keep saying those things. Well, guess what? You are affirming that you are broke, and you're going to stay broke. So it goes both ways. So, again, the feeling along with that, and then that feeling, the belief as well. So you got to take control of it. You just can't just say, I am dot, 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 or you thinking it's going to be miraculous. Well, you got to do the work. Just like Bev said, we've said this for the past two shows. You got to do the work. There's some work involved in this. You got to feel that thing. You got to believe that thing. And again, it goes both ways. Positive and negative.
I had an experience this past week, and my coach, I'm not going to name my coach, but her name is FH, as in Phenicia Hubbard, called me, and we were talking. And what I realized from my conversation is that a lot of times we get in a mode of not being thankful for what is. It comes in, you see it, and you say thank you, and you're very quick to move on. You don't languish in the thankfulness of what is. And I think that may be part of the problem, too. We're always looking for the next miracle, for the next thing to be happy about, rather than languishing in the happiness that is. And before I leave that subject, I want to say that there was a gentleman I saw one day, and I said, oh, it's so good to see you again. He said, thank you. It's good to be seen. He said, I'd rather be seen than viewed. So when you think of your happiness, you know, is to languish in the thankfulness. Happiness starts with being thankful about what you are, who you are, whose you are, and where you are. And sometimes we forget. I forget. I say, oh, thank you, Lord, that was perfect. I absolutely love it. And I'm looking for the next thing. It's like a kid at Christmas. You open up one package, you see the gift, and you say, oh, I love it, I love it, and you're ready to go to the next package.
Right, exactly.
I'm
sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're our guest in the conversation. I want to hear what you have to say, definitely.
What Bev just said just really made me think about when you're enjoying a meal. Let's say you're in a hurry and you got somewhere you got to go, but you want to eat really quick before you go to your next appointment or wherever you're going, and you eat it and you rush, and then that's it. you know, and it's kind of like, okay, didn't take the time to really enjoy it. But when you take the time to, like, really indulge in some delicious food, oh, my God, and it's so good, and you're so happy, and then you become so full, and then you start rubbing your stomach, and you're just like, oh, this is so wonderful. That's being grateful. That's being full. That's the fullness. That's it. I actually was in a bistro on Friday. I was working on some writing, and I decided to sit down and have a glass of wine. But I decided to just kind of sip it a little bit, and I let it just linger, and it was just so good. By the time I finished the glass, I was just killing it. It was just delicious. And that's how we should really be about our lives and being grateful for what we have. If you just go through life just saying, oh, thank you for this day, bye. Oh, thank you for the sun, bye. Oh, thanks for my legs, bye. I'm just like, really, though? I mean, really be thankful for this wonderful weather we're experiencing in Chicago today. After all of the rain, after the snow, after this ridiculous winter, we have this wonderful sun just shining on our skin. Can you just be excited and grateful and bask in the moment? When we take the opportunity to just be grateful, we get more of it, more of it, and we get full, the fullness. I love it.
I wonder if there are some beliefs held among people that there is a such thing as being too happy. And the reason I ask that question is because you have to think about the frame of mind somebody has to be in when they are choosing to not be happy, choosing to accept being stuck in doubt or fear or anger, right? And so, Chanel, I know you have a lot of upbringing and background in the church, and you come from a religious family, and sometimes there's this idea of suffering that's associated with some religious dogma. Sometimes there's this just different beliefs that go along with that, and I'm just wondering if that experience in any way shaped your journey towards your ultimate happiness.
Well, definitely there was a lot of influence, spiritual and religious influence, as I went to church all the time growing up, and I have a family that's full of clergy. So definitely it did influence it. However, it was something that I had to find for myself. I could easily just follow the patterns of, you know, what my family have instilled in me. But at the end of the day, I had to seek it for myself. I had to know it for myself. I could easily take someone else's word for it, but I could never apply it to my own life because I had to know it for myself. So, again, it was definitely very helpful. At least I had some type of resource, instilled in me. But at the end of the day, you got to know for yourself. And it's funny because I've always heard that in church. They say you always have to know Christ for yourself. No one can make that decision for you. You have to know for yourself. It's a choice. And I'm glad I have a choice. But it's my choice, no one else's.
And we're back to choices again. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
What I
so
like.
Do I choose to be happy or do I choose to not be, right? I wonder if that's the question that people are people actually asking themselves the question? Do people recognize that there is a choice?
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
I think about how often we allow outside experiences to influence our choices. And sometimes the outside influence is so much that we don't even make a choice. We'll say, well, I don't think about that. I know people who don't listen to the news or who don't watch the news or who don't want to hear about anything on the news. It may be one thing to say that I don't want it to influence me, but I also wonder what that means for how you live the rest of your life if you don't know what's going on around you.
Right. I agree with that. I mean, I think there definitely has to be some form of a balance. I think I get enough news just so I know what's going on in the world, just so I know what's really going on. I live in it, might as well know, but I don't overindulge in it where I have CNN on, like, 24/7, and it's the same message over and over again, and it's being embedded into my subconsciousness. I used to be that person. I used to have the news on, like, all day. I mean, I went to school for broadcasting, so I kind of was into news. But I like to have a nice balance right now, and that helps me. I'm not telling anyone, you know, what they need to do, but I know in my own personal walk, I need a balance, and having news on 24/7 just doesn't work for me.
I think it's also important, you know, when we talk about happiness, and I think the choice to be happy is that, you know, I think once you start intentionally choosing happiness, you can really honor those other emotions like anger and frustration and kind of bounce back quicker. And maybe, Chanel, you could, like, you know, weigh in on that. Because I think sometimes it's healthy to honor why you're angry or why you're frustrated, because at least in my opinion, I think that could lead you to being even happier. So have you seen that, or have you experienced that, just like honoring the fact that, hey, I'm frustrated right now, or I'm angry, or I'm scared about something?
Right. I totally agree. I'm glad you said that. In order for us to know what we like, we have to know what we don't like. And so I'm okay with embracing my emotions, with the fact that maybe I'm not too happy with a certain client, or maybe I don't want to do this type of work, or maybe I don't like this kind of community that I live in. Maybe I don't like dating this type of person. Okay, well, let me take ownership over that. Since I don't like this, what do you like? Oh, okay. And then I answer the question, well, what do I like? Well, I like this type of neighborhood. I like dating these type of guys. I like these type of clients. And then when I associate myself with the things I do like, then I silence and dissolve the things I don't like, because I replaced it with the things I do like. And so, again, just like you said, now I'm in a more happier place because now I know what I do like. So I'm focused more on that now. I'm not focusing on the things I don't like. So I agree with you. I think I can be even more happier by embracing those things for a moment. I don't like that negative emotion, replacing that with the thing that I do like, and now I'm engulfed in essence, happiness.
One of you hear people say all the time that you never know where you're going until you get there. It's a crazy little song from Electric Company, which makes sense a lot of times. But I'm wondering if you look back on some of the things that you've done or you've gone or your experiences, how much do they shape your choices for today? Is it something you dwell on, or do you just tap into it a little bit? Do you have a particular strategy as to how you will use your past to move on into your future?
You know, sometimes I do take the time to just look back over my life, and I see how far I've come, and I look at the person that I've become today. And I'm just like, wow, I would not have been here had I not gone through X, Y, and Z. I think I told Phoenicia this actually before. I feel as if I didn't go through what I went through in order to be who I am right now, in this space that I am in right now, we would not have been communicating at all. Like, she came into my life at a time where I was starting to dissolve all of those negative emotions. Had I still had those negative emotions, I know for sure I would not have reconnected with Phoenicia, which in essence connected me with Candace and you too, Bev. I would not have even met you all, because I would have been in another place. So I'm grateful for even the bad times, because it shaped the person I am now and connecting me with the people that I need to be in relationship at the moment. I'm grateful. I really am.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chanel. We're grateful for you. Very much so. We're talking with Chanel, ChanelEllis.com. That's ChanelEllis.com. BlogTalkRadio.com/MakeItGreat. And in the studio, talking about happiness, how to choose to be happy, and how to make it great in your life. So, Bev, I think you bring a lot of wisdom to our conversation, wisdom in experience as well as just life in general. And when you hear us as young people talking about happiness, or younger people talking about happiness, do you have any wisdom that you can impart on us as we move forward every day choosing to be happy? You know, what are the lessons that you've learned?
The lessons that I've learned are the lessons that you ladies are now talking about, is that happiness starts from within. And my generation, if you got married, you'd be happy. If you made your husband happy, you were supposed to be happy. If you had children, you would be happy. If you had the perfect house, you know, then you would be happy. There were a lot of things that we looked for on the outside that were supposed to make us happy. And what we found is that we needed Prozac. So, happiness comes from the inside. And even our religion in those days, happiness was supposed to come in eternity. You know, that's what they preached, was after you left here, that, you know, when you got to the streets paved with gold, that's when you would be happy, not talking about what you needed today, what you needed, you know, done on earth as it is in heaven, as we hear it today. So you ladies have already learned that until you are happy with who you are and whose you are, no one could make that happen for you. It can't happen. Money is not going to make you happy, because money is going to come and go.
I'm so glad that you pointed out that, thank you for sharing that, because I think it is, you know, we look at how things, happiness has been defined over time, and I feel like it has changed, although the essence of what happiness is has not changed. I think the way we view it has changed over time, but thank you.
Well, I'm proud of you, ladies. I am, you know, I feel like the mama hen is like, wow, my chicks have grown up.
Yeah. So now I like how you said that, you know, as you were moving up on the scale of life towards bliss and happiness, that you started to connect with the right people, opportunities, the things that you needed. So how does that relate to other women who are also moving up, you know? And this is going off the assumption, you know, assuming that people want to be happy and that people want to grow and change. You know, what does that say about them, and what do they need to do so that they can be open to the same types of experiences that you had?
Well, I think it takes first taking the time to just be honest with yourself without any outside influences, without anyone else telling you what is great. What do you want? What is the inner voice inside of you saying? And I think we need to sometimes silence our minds, because we, you know, the mind is a very powerful tool. And all of the years of people pouring into you, it's like the subconscious is like a tape recorder. It records everything. And it'll constantly play back all of the things you've ever heard in your life. And you need to silence that and really get in touch with the God that's in you and say, you know, what really makes me happy? What kind of job do I really want? How do I want to service people? What are the people that I want to be around? What kind of neighborhood I want to be in? Or what's the type of money I want to make? Whatever it is that you feel makes you happy, you have to be honest with yourself and silence those outside influences and figure out what it is that you want. And then once you become in tune with the things that you want, then you become those things. You might not think that, oh, I want to be with this wonderful guy, and you think, like, oh, how can I be with him? Well, be that person. If you want to be with a guy that got a Benz and live in a great neighborhood and got a lot of money, well, what do you need to do? Have a Benz, live in a great neighborhood, and have a lot of money. You become those things. And then as you become those things, you start to attract those things. So it's no accident why you're attracting certain types of men. It's no accident why your circle of influence or your friends are a certain kind of way. Look at who you are. Become that person. Become to attract that. And then once you start to attract that, that is the manifestation, like, right there in front of you. But it really starts within. You have to be honest with yourself. What is it that you want? Become to feel that. Become that. Believe that. Embody that. That is you. There is the I am factor. And there are no limits. You can become whatever you want, whenever you want. There are no limits. But we put limits on ourselves because society tells us you can't have that because of this. You can't do this because of that. Who says? You say. You say. The God in you say has the final say. Not the media, not reality TV, not Facebook, not social media. You say. And we have so much going on constantly, every day, day in and day out. So much is being poured into our minds and in our spirits that we can't even listen to that voice that is inside of us because it's just, we're so clouded. We're so busy. We're going so fast. Slow down. What do you say? What do you want?
I have a question, Chanel. What do you recommend people do when the things that they are sure they want it do not come to pass, or they don't come to pass as quickly as they thought they should? Because I think that's part of the depression. That's part of the despair, is that we always say you can be whatever you want to be, but where do you see them drawing the fine line between wanting it and it not being right for them and not getting it and still being thankful or happy at where they are?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but there are times when I ask for something and there is a delay, and I could easily say, well, where is it? Well, I mean, I asked for it. It's not coming. So, you know, I could easily just give up. But like I said earlier, it's as sure as I say my name. My name is Chanel. This is who I am. It's kind of like when you, if you go order food at a restaurant, you go through a drive-thru and you say, I want, I don't know, you go to McDonald's, you say, I want a cheeseburger with no pickles and a Diet Coke. Okay, well, when you drive around, you're not thinking about who called off that day. You are thinking about what manager is on duty. All you know is that you placed an order with the universe, and you know as sure as your stomach is growling, I am deserving of this burger, and I want it, and I'm going to get it, and I will wait here until I get it. I know when I was younger in church, they would say that they would never, they won't let go. They would tell God, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go. This is what I want, and I'm sure I'm going to get it. And the only way I'm going to let go is if there's some kind of doubt that says, you know what, maybe I should move on to something else, or I don't think I'm deserving of this, or even better, I deserve better. Okay, no problem. You don't have to give me that burger. Don't even want it, because guess what? I'm going to go to a restaurant downtown. I'm going to get something better. So it's all about what do you want, and if you want it really bad, you're not going to let go of it, and I'm not letting go of it.
I know that you come from a family of clergy and people in the church, but Chanel, I'm going to go ahead and invite you to take up that pulpit with them, because that is what you have done with us during this time. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you sharing your wisdom as it relates to happiness, and I think going forward, we can encourage our listeners and people, you know, in our world to embrace the spirit of happiness that is within them, because I think that's one of the things we all come to consensus on this radio show here today, is that happiness is within each of us. So let's tell people, Chanel, how they can connect with you, any upcoming events that you have. Give us the 411 and information.
Okay. Well, my website is ChanelEllis.com. That's ChanelEllis.com. You can check out my blog. I do have a fresh blog every Tuesday, so check me out by 12 Central Time, 12 noon Central Time. I have a fresh blog for you to read. Also, I will be joining Phoenicia and others for the Happiness Project, and I know you'll talk about that a little bit later, and that's going to be on this Friday, May 3rd. So that's what's going on with me.
Thank you so much, Chanel. And when people go to your website, I know that ChanelEllis.com is your blog site. And if you could also share with us information about the other work that you do or other websites that people can find you at.
Yes, you can also find me at CECOMarketing.com. That's CECOMarketing.com. It is a place where I offer my voiceover services as well as various marketing products, including graphic design and promotional videos. So check me out there. Oh, and you can also follow me on Twitter at C is for Chanel.
Very catchy. Thanks so much, Chanel, as you go out and continue to spread happiness into this world. Love it, love it, love it. Hey, Candace, what's going on in your world? How can people play in the light, and what do you have coming up?
So I have a woman's circle coming up. It's going to be via phone. Details will be going out Tuesday. It's going to be in May. And so it's going to be all about living in the place of I don't know, but letting your I don't know lead you to happiness. So it'll be a guided circle of support. And you can find that information on Tuesday on my website, which is vulnerabilityissexy.com. And I also blog there. You can get in contact with me, write me a letter. But it's all about just living life how you want. So join me for that. Coming up in May, and also, you know, every week come and, you know, see my blog and see new posts about what I'm, you know, what I'm doing and what I'm experiencing. So that's where you can find any information about me.
Vulnerability is sexy. Love it. Hey, Bev, what's going on in your world?
Well, you know, at this moment, and I can appreciate what Chanel is doing, I have decided that I am going to make some major changes in where I am and what I'm doing. So I am on hold right now. And I'm enjoy being on hold because I am being thankful for where I am and what I'm doing and enjoying some things that I have not stopped to enjoy since I have become a single lady.
Oh, I feel like we need to cue up Beyonce, all the single ladies. I love it, Bev. I love how you never get content and life continues to just develop for you. That is absolutely phenomenal.
I find it very interesting that people say to me, are you okay? Are you all right? You know, do you need something to do? Do you need to volunteer? And I am finding that my calendar is filling out quite well, and I'm even starting to go out to evening events. So watch out, you younger women. I'm on the prowl.
Okay, you heard it here first on the Make It Great Show. That's when you heard it from Beth herself. Everybody, please do mark your calendars. A couple of very important events coming up. On Friday, we have the Happiness Sprinkling in Chicago. We are going to be on 87th and the Dan Ryan Expressway on the west side of the expressway from 4:30 to 5:30. You want to look for us in the bright yellow shirts. We're asking that you come out and volunteer an hour of your time to spread happiness with other people. I'm telling you, this event will change your life. I participated in the event in Portland, Oregon, and it just not only lifted up my spirits, but to watch how it touched everybody that was in the vicinity was absolutely amazing. Also, mark your calendar for Saturday on May 4th. We have Global Free Hugs, again, another opportunity for you to spread happiness. And you can get all the details at positive-focus.com. That's where you can get the details for that. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Make It Great Show. We'll see you again next week, same time, different topic, same great conversation. And until then, choose to make it great.
I am great. Not because someone told me, but because I believe. I believe in my abilities to achieve the impossible. I am strong beyond measure. I am smart without a doubt. High I will aim. Shout loudly I proclaim that I am great. I am great from my inner core. Deeply, I believe that no obstacle is too large, too much to overcome. I am a conqueror. Opposition I will slay, for this is the day I say that I am great. I am great. I know who I am. I stand tall and erect. Nothing intimidates me. From the moment I begin, I win. I am defined by greatness and nothing less. My only option is success. Action proves it best that I am great.